Chapter 17, Time Slips, Time Warps, and Vortex Phenomena. The source field is the master key, a fluid-like energy that ultimately creates space, time, matter, energy, biology, and consciousness. The ancients appeared to know vastly more about the source field than we ever gave them credit for. They built stone structures that may well have created enough coherence to harness natural stargates that appear in the Earth when the geometry inside the Earth aligns with the geometry in the solar system. When I found out that the TLR cycle nested in perfectly with the Bakhtun, I really knew I was onto something. The Maya may very well have been tracking cycles they could use to open portals for travel through time and space. The flowing geometric currents discovered by Hans Jenny could be truly galaxy-wide and lead to traversable wormholes or stargates where all you have to do is go in one side and the current will naturally carry you out to the other side, which may be quite some distance away. If all this is true, and this system really works, then there should be a variety of examples where these portals into time-space naturally and spontaneously appear on Earth, causing mysterious disappearances, time displacements, and other anomalies. What would one of these portals look like? Since the source field is fluid-like, we can expect that a vortex within the field will appear as a spherical bubble. The surrounding pressure of the source field would push in equally on it from all sides, just like the atmosphere pushes on a soap bubble. Furthermore, since matter is being transformed into a wave function inside this vortex, including the atmosphere, we would no longer see solid objects. We would see photons of light in a foggy and misty sphere. Witness reports confirm this foggy sphere could be gray, white, yellow, green, red, or even other colors. It would also shield gravity, much like a tornado or the vortexes Schauberger discovered in water that caused levitation effects to occur. Anything or anyone that goes inside such a vortex could then pop over into time-space. And if you didn't know what you were doing, you might not come back. Living or non-living matter that gets captured into this vortex would disappear from our reality and move over into the parallel reality, at least temporarily. These vortexes could theoretically travel in any direction. There is no reason to assume they would remain stationary, since these geometries have flowing currents moving through them all the time. Some vortexes may start on the surface of the Earth, capture materials or living organisms in them, and then rise. Once they reach a certain height, they may lose the momentum that keeps their internal vortex activity moving faster than the speed of light. Then, the material inside of them pops back over into space-time, and everything inside of them suddenly falls, seemingly out of thin air. Let's say one of these vortexes first appeared inside a lake filled with fish. The fish would temporarily pop over into time-space, get captured inside the gravitational force created within this sphere of energy, levitate into the air, pop back into space-time, return in what may be an entirely different time, and fall out of the sky. Falling out of time. Before we get to fish falls, our first example involves rocks. This event contains many obvious signs of the effects from time-space, although it is considered a classic poltergeist case. W.G. Grothendieck awoke one night in September 1903 to the sight of black stones, no bigger than 3/4 of an inch, warping directly through his roof and ceiling as they fell in a smooth, even curve, in slow motion. They landed on the floor near his pillow. In a 1906 letter to the British Society for Psychical Research, he explained some of the strange things that happened. "I tried to catch the stones while they were falling through the air toward me, but I could never catch them. It seemed to me that they changed their direction in the air as soon as I tried to get hold of them." This indicates the stones still had a levity effect and were being repelled by matter in space-time, such as his own body. They also were very likely not fully materialized yet, explaining why he was never able to catch one of them. They may have moved right through his hand like it wasn't even there. To me, the most interesting part was that the stones appeared to be falling slower than they should have been. But according to Grothendieck, the sound they made in falling down on the floor was also abnormal, because considering their slow motion, the bang was much too loud. It would appear that time was moving more slowly within the stones themselves and their own immediate area. Everything outside that area was still moving at the normal time, and the stones still had the same amount of inertia. So, once the sound of the stones hitting the floor moved out of the region where time was passing more slowly, it sped back up and sounded perfectly normal, because Grothendieck was not standing within that slower zone of time himself. He also found the stones were warmer than usual when he picked them up, which is another frequently reported element of poltergeist cases. This effect seems to be due to the stress they experienced in popping back over to space-time, causing them to lose coherence. On October 16, 1997, a Civil War-type cannonball blasted through Leonard and Kathy Mickelson's mobile home in House Springs, Missouri, going through a window and two walls. The police investigated the idea that someone was using a Civil War reenactment cannon, and that may be all it was. But this seems like a pretty strange crime, not to mention expensive, and one that could be easily traced to the perpetrator. Can you honestly imagine some guy setting up a Civil War cannon and firing it at someone's home in the middle of a trailer park? Okay, maybe if there was enough alcohol involved, but it certainly doesn't seem very likely. There is at least a possibility that this was caused by a portal into time-space that had opened up in a Civil War battlefield, allowing a much longer duration to be traversed. Just like in the cases of hauntings, where someone's murder seems to keep being replayed for people who stay in the house, it could be that the deaths and trauma on the battlefield created a strong enough disturbance in the source field to open up a portal, literally a rift in time. Fish falls. The most classic example of a vortex capturing various items, levitating, and then dropping them is the many cases of live fish falling from the air. The phenomenon is real, though unexplained, and was even written up in the prestigious Natural History magazine in 1921 with complete seriousness. There are many, many documented examples of this phenomenon, but the case that jumped out at me the most occurred near Calcutta in 1839. In this case, a single variety of fish, about 3 inches in length, fell in a perfectly straight line within a greater rain shower. The line was not more than a cubit in breadth. And this is compelling evidence that the fish were falling directly out of a single vortex in the sky. The author points out the staggering number of documented cases from all over the world by people who were unaware of the phenomenon, and he ultimately makes a bold conclusion. To proclaim disbelief in the phenomenon of rains of fishes, to refuse credence to accounts so widespread in time and space, so thoroughly corroborative, would, in the mind of the writer, be indicative of an inability properly to evaluate evidence. Now that's Natural History magazine, not the National Enquirer. I don't buy it, the skeptic says. None of this stuff happens anymore. People were crazy back then. That's all it is. In March 2010, the UPI published an article describing how hundreds of small white fish, known as spangled perch, many of which were still alive, fell over a remote Australian desert town for 2 days. The nearest river was 326 miles away. And similar phenomena occurred in the same town in 1974 and 2004. Ooparts. Fish falls and other such Fortean events may well be caused by a vortex that captures matter, rises into the air, potentially moves into a different time, and then collapses back into space-time, thereby dropping its contents. What about a vortex that captures items from the surface and then sinks down into the Earth while it is in time-space, passing right through the Earth's crust as if it weren't even there? As one potential example, there is a great body of data on out-of-place artifacts, or ooparts, that have been found in deep layers of rock, much earlier than any intelligent human habitations would be expected on Earth. The most scientifically rigorous collection of this data is in Forbidden Archaeology by Michael Cremo and Richard Thompson. One collection of possible oopart examples includes an ornately carved candlestick holder in rocks estimated to be 100,000 years old, though the picture is believed to be a hoax. A metal medallion with carved figures and a strange form of writing from 100,000-year-old rock, a copper hook and a ring from a 150,000-year-old sand layer, a curious mechanical object resembling a spark plug in 500,000-year-old rock, a perfect modern nail in a piece of million-year-old quartz, a nail found in rock estimated to be 75,000 to 100,000 years old in Peru from 1572, a nail found in British sandstone estimated to be at least 40 million years old, a 2-inch metal screw in 21 million-year-old feldspar found in a Nevada mine, a cast iron cube found in 60 million-year-old brown coal that was studied in scientific journals in 1886, a gold chain in 300 million-year-old Pennsylvanian coal, an iron pot in coal from 300 to 325 million years ago, an ornately carved brass bell found in West Virginia coal, and stone spheres found in California rock estimated to be billions of years old. Toad in the hole. An even more interesting phenomenon involves cases where living frogs or toads are found embedded in rocks, lumps of coal, or within the trunks of large trees. Over 210 cases of this have been documented in Europe, the United States, Canada, Africa, New Zealand, and the West Indies, dating from the late 15th century to the early 1980s. In many cases, multiple witnesses independently reported what they saw. The famous surgeon Ambroise Paré ordered workmen to break up two large stones at his vineyard in 1575, and a large living toad was found inside one of them, with no visible opening to the outside. The miner said this was not the first time he had found toads as well as other types of animals inside stone. In 1686, Professor Robert Plott described three different cases of toad in the hole. In one case, a large limestone block had been recently placed as a stepping stone to help people cross a stream. Croaking sounds were heard inside the stone, and after a long discussion, they decided to break it open, and a living toad came out. Plott also reported a case where the very top stone in the spire of a church tower had fallen and broken open. A living toad was found inside the stone, and it died quickly after it was exposed to the air, which Plott said was a common occurrence for these unfortunate creatures. Another live toad was found in the stone wall of France's Lorraine Castle in September 1770, which created a new wave of interest in the phenomenon. Monsieur Jean Guettard from the French National Academy of Sciences said this was one of the most baffling mysteries in all of natural history and urged his colleagues to spare no expense in solving the problem, which was known and documented for more than 200 years. The reason why this is less likely to be seen in today's world may simply be that we usually crush any stones we quarry. With the advent of pourable concrete and lightweight, sturdy building materials, we usually do not quarry stone blocks directly out of the earth. In June 1851, French miners were digging a well near Blois and split open a large flint stone with a pickaxe. A large living toad jumped out of a hole in the stone. The stone had a perfect impression of the toad's body in it, and a team of experts from the French Academy of Sciences were perplexed by how well it fit. They concluded they could not find any evidence of fraud, and the toad had apparently been alive and well in the rock for some time. Another strange detail from many of these cases is that the toad's mouths often seem to be covered with a thick membrane. Their skin is unusually dark, and there is a mysterious, bright, shining glow from their eyes. A living toad was found in a block of magnesium limestone in Hartlepool, England, on April 7, 1865. Again, the cavity fit the toad's body perfectly, and the Hartlepool Free Press reported that the toad's eyes shone with unusual brilliancy. The toad was extremely pale when it was first found, with a color very similar to the surrounding stone, but it soon darkened to an olive-brown color. Its mouth was sealed shut, forcing it to breathe through its nostrils with a loud barking sound, and it also seemed to be a more prehistoric creature as well. As reported by the Hartlepool Free Press, the claws of its forefeet are turned inward, and its hind ones are of extraordinary length and unlike the present English toad. In another case, an inch and a quarter long lizard was found by a stonemason named David Verture. It was brownish yellow in color with bright, sparkling, projecting eyes. Although it seemed dead at first, it showed signs of life after about 5 minutes. It was found in rock that was 22 feet underground, and the rock cavity had again formed perfectly around the lizard's body. Even though the stone was very hard, about half an inch of the area around the lizard was soft and sandy, and had become the same color as the lizard. There were no cracks or fissures that could have allowed it to get in. This was written up in an 1821 edition of Tillich's Philosophical Magazine. A British soldier found a large toad and a 9-inch-long lizard side by side in stone that was being quarried in Algeria to make roads and refill bomb craters during World War II. Both were alive, and the rock was 20 feet below the top of the quarry. An 1890 issue of Scientific American reported that many well-authenticated stories of the finding of live toads and frogs in solid rock are on record. Like we saw in the tornado cases, it could well be that some of the material within their bodies has blended with the stone, causing the change in color, but somehow this effect does not cause instant death. The glowing eyes may well be caused by some of their bodies not fully collapsing back into space-time, thus appearing bright, as a part of them still exists as a wave. This light may be the most visible in parts of the body that are watery by nature, such as the eyes. Why haven't other living animals been found inside rocks? My guess is that this is because amphibians and some reptiles can indeed go into a state of hibernation and survive for long periods of time without food, air, or water. When the toad-in-the-hole story became popular in the 1700s, many amateur English naturalists tried burying live toads in flower pots, sealed with plaster or mortar, and they were still alive once freed. Zoologist Edward Jesse kept a toad buried for 20 years in a flower pot, and it jumped out vigorously when the pot was opened. In 1825, a professor of geology at Oxford named Dr. William Buckland set up a series of rigorous experiments to prove or disprove whether toads could in fact survive within rocks. After 1 year of burial, toads in a sandstone block had died, as well as small toads within a solid limestone block. However, toads that had been buried in a porous limestone block were still alive, and two of them had even gained weight. He then reburied them in the same block and checked on them periodically during a second year. Each time he looked in on them, they were awake, but increasingly emaciated, and finally they all died. This led Buckland and other scientists to conclude that toads could not survive in rocks for an extended period of time, and thus the whole phenomenon was written off as a hoax. It could be that once these amphibians have passed into a vortex, they move into a state of suspended animation as long as they stay still, neither fully in space-time nor in time-space, and therefore outside of time as we now think of it. Then, once the rock is disturbed, such as by quarrying, it collapses the wave function, as a quantum physicist might say. Then, the unfortunate creature pops fully over into space-time. At this point, most animals would probably die of asphyxiation almost immediately. But toads and lizards seem to be durable enough to survive for some time once this has happened, possibly even for years.